Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, my lovers, and happy Thanksgiving. I'm so excited that you are joining us for today's Dates and Mates show. This is the time of year we all need to spread a little bit of love and come together with our family and friends and build our relationships, and that's why we're so happy that you are here with us and Dates and Mates. I am sitting in the studio next to my co-host, Mr. Ray Christian, CEO of the Textbird app. Hello.
Happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day. You're still going with the beard. When are you going to shave it?
I think once No Shave November is done, I'm going to give it up.
Okay. How's it look? Do you like it?
You asked me this last week. You're not going to get a beard compliment from me, but...
I don't get, like, clean shaven compliments either.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens. I never get any compliments. Really? From me? Never?
Nothing about my face.
Quit it. Okay, December compliments are coming your way.
Better be.
We have a lot coming your way on today's Dates and Mates. We're going to be discussing what to do when your family pokes into your love life during Thanksgiving. I know some of you are going to be dealing with that pretty soon. We'll tell you if it's okay to cyber sleuth a date before you meet. We'll have some shocking new stats on the divorce rate, plus live callers and terrific Textbird questions. And a very provocative he said, she said that you will not be able to stop talking about. All that and more on today's Dates and Mates. And good day to you, Producer Jay.
Good day.
Good day. Can we start with a little D's Dating Dish?
D's Dating Dish.
All right, peeps. You're single for the holidays? You're wondering what to do when your family will not stop asking why? All right. There was an article from Bravo TV. I didn't even know they had blogs, but hey.
And a pretty good one.
Yeah, pretty good one.
I like this article.
Okay, well, jump in, because you seem really excited about it. Tell me. Tell me what got you so excited about this.
Well, it just
questions from the fam?
It kind of just gave you some, like, unexpectedly savvy tips on how to deflect all the attention, the unwanted attention about why you're single on the holidays. And I thought it'd be another like cheesy like women's article about like, oh, just be positive and this and that. And it was
like
not
the ones
that.
I write.
It was hard hitting.
It was hard hitting, and it actually had some practical advice, like if people always say, oh, well, online dating is so easy, why don't you just online date, Ray? And so the app suggests, well, then give them your dating apps and say, you think online dating is so easy, why don't you do it?
One of my favorite things to do, just delegate.
Just delegate.
Here, you do it. You try this.
Exactly.
Aunt Nancy.
And another suggestion is putting together a one-sheeter. Take a more an active and adult-like approach by putting together a one-page printout of all of your 2016 accomplishments. And then when people start to pity you because you haven't found the one, you can show them all of the things that you found instead. I know so many of my clients that would totally ace that assignment, and they're just like struggling with finding love, but it's because they're putting all of this effort and energy into other things that are bearing fruit for them.
Also just a multi-purpose good exercise to make you feel good about yourself.
Hey, we gotta feel good. 2017's coming.
I love the one where they ask you a question you don't really want to answer. Just change the subject and ignore that question. One of my favorite things to do with a bad text conversation, I'll just ignore the question and then talk about something else. Like,
oh, that explains
events.
So much. No, but that's actually a good strategy for dating as well. People always ask me, well, what happens if I get asked a question on a date that I don't want to answer? And I'm like, you change the subject? You don't answer it? You coyly shift the conversation in the direction you want it to go. Duh.
It's kind of a pro tip. Like, everyone talks about the hamster brain where it resets every 5 seconds. Humans are kind of the same. If I ask you a question and then you hit me back with a completely different question, I'll kind of forget that I asked you a question sometimes.
Sometimes. But not on this show.
Not on this show.
And these phones, they're programming us even more to have that hamster brain. Now we have fish brain.
I forgot what we were talking about.
All right, new topic. Hamster brain.
Reset.
All right, so the National Post had an article asking, is it okay to Google your date before you meet them? I get asked this question a lot. What do you think, Ray? Can you Google a date? Can you do a little cyber sleuthing before you show up?
It's tough for me to put myself in the shoes of the women because Obviously, I'm not a woman, and maybe it is actually beneficial obviously. To do that. This beard if to, communicates one thing. It's not a woman. But as a guy, I never want to do any research. As long as I've seen, met you or seen you or seen that you're, you don't look like you got hit by a frying pan, then I don't want to know details. I want it to all be a surprise, a pleasant surprise.
Okay, but is that because you're afraid you're going to find something out that you don't want to know?
It's because, no, it's just because I want to go in with a clean slate and I don't want to have preconceived notions. And I think women would probably be well served with that, except for the fact that maybe it is good to search to see if he's on the watch list or if he's got a warrant out for his arrest or whatever. And maybe it's good to see if he's dangerous or not. I actually had a girl that researched me on her FBI watch list because her friend was at the FBI. And
she found your name there?
She told me.
Well, yeah, Ray Christian, you have a name that maybe other people might have. You're like, that's not me, I swear.
Oh, when your last name is also the most popular religion in the world, very difficult to Google you. So good luck.
Good luck to her. Well, a Match.com survey that they reported in this article about said that nearly half of women will cancel a date due to something they find online.
Doesn't that seem a little silly?
I think it's a little bit silly, but I think it's a good idea still to Google your date just to find out if there's any inconsistencies or if that mugshot comes up. You want to just rule out any absolute red flags, but don't go so deep where you're telling them about things that you learned from reading, you know, their high school blog. That's too much.
Their senior quote. Can you tell me an example of, like, what is a good red flag if you've Googled that person, you find out what's a good reason to be like, you know what, date is off?
Well, just some of the ones that you mentioned, if they have a criminal past, that, like, last week we were talking about that Gable Toastie guy. I'm sure some stuff would come up on him if you actually Googled him. You would find some, like, don't date him, girl. But the biggest thing that I ask clients to look for are inconsistencies. So if somebody said that they work a certain place or they're really into a certain sport and you can't find anything with them associated with that, that might be a red flag.
So are they a liar? Are they a killer? And are they actually married?
There you go. I was going to say liar, killer, cheat. There you go. That's all you need to know. Okay. So speaking of, none of those things. We love talking about celebrity couples, and this is a story I'm sort of excited about. Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban, they reportedly enrolled in a $10,000 couples retreat to repair their marriage. And the reason I'm excited about it is not because I want their relationship to fail. It's because I want their relationship to win. And I think there is nothing wrong. In fact, I encourage people in relationships to constantly be working on their communication and their connection to one another. So I think it's a really good thing. They're denying it, of course, but even if they did go to a couples retreat, I think it's a wonderful thing. And it's a great message that I hope that they would stand behind to say, we want our relationship to work. We care about our family together, and we are making an investment, a $10,000 investment in our future. That's what I say. What are you?
Does that seem a little cheap? $10,000 for some multi-millionaires?
Well, it it does say that they were at an island resort in the state of Washington. So, I mean, it sounds kind of fancy. I would say they probably have spent $10,000 on just a regular vacation.
Yeah,
before.
Was this like a Groupon special or something?
I don't know. It's a pretty good deal. But for most of the people listening, $10,000 probably sounds like a big investment to make in your marriage. And it's not like that's what you have to do to be present in your marriage. But if you feel like something is off, or if you just want to gain more skills to improve, I totally encourage everybody listening to do some sort of a workshop or couples retreat, or even just get a counselor. There's no shame in having a therapist or a counselor. My husband and I have been to a couples counselor, and honestly, we really don't have problems. I think because we go to a couples counselor every now and then, and we make sure that we're speaking the same language to each other.
I can respect that.
Respect.
I feel like respect. I feel like Nicole Kidman has this like vibe to her that kind of reminds me of a couple people that you probably will be surprised for me to say this, but Rihanna and also Angelina Jolie. Like, they all have this, like, very sexual vibe to them, but they also seem like they're probably a handful to deal with.
Maybe.
Like, a little cray-cray, but a little bit, like, they mesmerize you.
She's mesmerizing. I don't want to make a judgment. But I will say that the divorce rate is the lowest that it has been in a generation. Glamour.com reported this great news. Everybody's always talking about the marriage rate. It's 50%. But it's not actually 50% for each individual person. And there were, in 2015, there were only 16.9 divorces for every 1,000 married women. I mean, it does account for the millennials that are getting married at lower rates. Lower and lower rates. But what it says to me is that if we did more of the Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban sort of connecting, we have a better chance at success in the future.
Commitments are working.
Commitments are working. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be answering live questions from callers in our LQXO segment. So stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, and I'm with Ray Christian, and we'll be right back.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls? Start saving thousands in interest and fees and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment. Reduce your payments by 30 to 50% and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-817-6251. 800-817-6251. That's 800-817-6251. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman, here to answer your love questions with my co-host, Mr. Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textbird app. So as you guys have seen, we want to hear from you. And even if you're listening to the podcast version of this show, there's a will, there's a way. We can get your question in the show. You can either tweet it to me at Damona Hoffman, or if you want to give us a call, you'll talk to a live operator who will help you get your call on the show. So it's 1-800-748-LQXO. Again, that's 1-800-748-LQXO.
We're a media company. You can get to us so many ways.
So many ways. We got to make it easy for people.
Call, text, Textbird us, Instagram, Twitter. We make it easy.
It's now Instagram. It's not IG or the gram.
The gram.
Okay. So while producer Jay is queuing up our, trying to queue up our caller, the best laid plans. What is that saying? Best laid plans. I don't know. You don't know either.
The best laid plans go to waste or something. Mm-hmm.
Best laid dating plans. Hey, what are your Thanksgiving plans?
Well, after the show, I'm going to meet with my sister. She's doing her like third straight Thanksgiving, and my mother's going to be there as well as my stepfather.
Wait, third straight, like she was a lesbian?
Third.
No, that's not what you meant.
No,
I didn't know what you meant.
But she also is straight. But more of like the mother. My mother always did it for a long time.
Okay, she's hosting for the third time.
She's hosting it.
Okay,
and like I gotta be honest, I didn't think she had it in her, and she has been crushing the Thanksgivings.
That's awesome.
What
I
about
think
you?
I might be cooking a turkey. I've never cooked one before, but there's a turkey in my refrigerator.
Are you gonna bake it?
Is that what you do to a turkey?
Well, that's the common way to do it. I've heard that deep frying it is like the cool new thing, and I'd probably recommend it. Apparently, it's
no, I don't have a deep
done
fryer.
In like no, 20 minutes. Happen. Oh, it's a little bit dangerous, though.
It sounds really fattening.
Boiling
too.
Grease.
I'm on Weight Watchers. It's never going to happen. Okay, so having a little technically difficulty getting our callers on the line. So I heard you pulled some things from the Textbird vault for technically dating. Can we do a little technically dating instead?
We can certainly do that.
Technically
all right,
dating.
Okay, question number one. So Thanksgiving is today, and I've not decided what to do. I can go with a neighbor who I occasionally have sex with, But he is an a-hole in disguise. I don't know what that means exactly, in disguise. I can go with a guy who's really sweet, but he has romantic feelings, and I'm not the least bit interested and don't want to give him any hope. Or I can go with my family that I hate and can sit, or I can sit at home alone with no food. Damona, what would you do?
Okay, so we've got guy she has sex with who's an a-hole in disguise. Guy that likes her, but she doesn't have feelings for her. And then family and being alone.
Correct.
I think, okay, so we can just go ahead and knock out the guy that has romantic feelings. That will totally lead him on. Thanksgiving is a significant day. And if you are spending it with him, you're sending a message to him that you want to be with him, part of his family. And that's not the message you want to send. I don't know what the purpose of going with the guy that would have, that she has occasional sex with and considers an a-hole. Why would you spend a day like this with someone that you feel like doesn't treat you well and is an a-hole? Okay, so that leaves you family and alone with no food. And as bad as your family might be, I generally feel like it's better to be with people that you that know you and love you. And as terrible as they may be, they probably really do love you and have your best interest at heart. So I say go with the family.
Like the great Yogi Berra once said, when you stumble into a fork in the road, take the fork. And I think that's apropos for Thanksgiving. So I would choose two options. I would say, look, try to bury the hatchet with your family a little bit and go have some dinner with them or lunch or whatever you do with your Thanksgiving. And then hit up the a-hole and just see what's up.
See what's up.
You're already in this little F-buddy zone or FWB. So
your neighbors, so you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. Tell them, or even better, tell them you're going to meet him for Thanksgiving. No show him. Go hang out with your family and then hit him up later. Like, oops, sorry, had to meet my family. And kind of if he's an a-hole, play fire, fight fire with fire.
I love your games. I love your games, Ray. Okay, what's your second question?
All right, this is from a young lady, 25. She says, my boyfriend never wants to have sex. It's been 2 weeks and I'm losing it. How can I explain it to him or fix this, Damona?
Can they talk about it first? Can she just start with, hey, I've noticed we're having sex a little less than usual. Is everything okay? Because without that information, you can't even begin to have a conversation. And really, female 25 from somewhere, you need to step out of your own needs for a second, because maybe there is something going on with your boyfriend. And it's not about you explaining it to him and explaining why you need to have sex. You need to be in listening mode and understand what it is that's changed the behavior for him and see if there's something that you can do to shift it.
That's pretty good advice, I think.
Thank you.
Very good advice. I think there's two types of people I've found. One is the type of person that engages with open communication and they respond to just being up front, above board. And maybe he's that type. If she's already, if he never wants to have sex, I would probably assume that maybe they've had that talk and he's brushed it under the rug or avoided the question. Who knows? And that's when I would engage with the second type of person. And the second type of person is the type that doesn't really handle conversations well and communication. They kind of more react to your actions and passive aggressiveness. And at the end of the day, you can knock passive aggressiveness, but if talking to them isn't working, maybe they'll only respect actions. And maybe she needs to start pulling away from him slowly and seeing if he does anything to change the situation. And if she keeps pulling away to the point where the relationship is over, then you have your answer. It's not a relationship that's meant to be.
I don't know, Ray. I mean, I think too many people take actions based on an assumption that they make because we're not communicating. And while she may have talked to him, it sounds just from the way she's asked this question, how can I explain it to him? Like, she's not talking with him, she's talking at him. And she needs to be in listening mode and try it one more time. And then if he really doesn't feel like sharing, maybe there is something wrong and you just need to move on. Maybe he's found somebody else. Maybe he's Maybe he's about to come out of the closet.
What if it becomes like a broken record? yes. Okay.
It's happened to me. Okay. Okay.
Is that jarring? If a girl dates a guy and he turns out to be gay, does that like sting you a little bit differently than just getting a breakup normally?
Are you asking me personally?
Because you're like the third woman I've talked to recently that said I've had exes that are gay that ended up being gay. Does that sting you a little bit?
No, because I think of sexuality as more fluid. I think of it on a scale. And I think, you know, sometimes you feel a little bit more one way. Sometimes you feel a little bit more another way. Some people are right in the middle. Some people are on extreme ends of the spectrum. And, you know, if you're dating people that are somewhere in the middle of the spectrum, it's not that big of a shock to you when the pendulum swings in the other direction.
You're just dating people that are open-minded.
That open-mindedness, it'll get you every time. What about a third question?
Damona.
Oh, speaking of.
Damona. What a good segue. Question number three from a young lady. She's in Mississippi, the Deep South. She's 20 years old. She says, is it normal to be attracted to lesbian pornography when I am 100% straight?
Is anything normal in sexuality? Is everything normal and anything normal? I tend to not look at things as absolutes. I really haven't met many people who are 100% on the 100% hetero scale. Really. If you're talking like thoughts, actions, words, what turns you on, whatever, there are very few people that really ride that 100% hetero, 100% homosexual line.
But you're guessing a little bit on that.
I am.
Because you can't get in their head to know what they're thinking. They might be thinking to themselves, you know what, I'm 100% straight.
But you look at on any of the research. Look at Kinsey started doing this research decades ago. And there's like a whole institute that studies this. There are very few people that are 100% on that end of the spectrum.
Okay.
So, but just because she is turned on by lesbian pornography doesn't mean that she's going to act upon having sex with a woman. And it sounds like that's her fear. Like, is it normal means, am I in danger of slipping into lesbianism? And I don't think one necessarily has anything to do with the other. What turns you on and what you actually take action on could be two totally different things.
Well, I would say this is me being somewhat sexist against guys. If it's a girl, I'm saying that's definitely understandable. The female species is effing exquisite. And I totally understand why that turns you on. If it was a guy, on the other hand, that said, is it weird that I'm turned on by gay porn? I would probably be like, you know what? That seems a little bit strange. And that's an unfair thing towards bisexual men versus bisexual women. But there's got to be some things that aren't normal sexually.
Oh, yeah, there are definitely some things that are not normal. But I would say that is a societal impression that's been placed upon you.
You're right. I agree that it is a ridiculous thought.
If you were in ancient Greece, it really wasn't all that strange. You go to the bathhouse, you know, you get a handy and whatever. It was just whatever. Peace and love.
Is the bathhouse totally open on Thanksgiving?
Totally unnerved you with that one. How much time do we have, Producer Jay?
We have 1 minute. 1 minute. So I think, yes, I agree that like even as I say it, it sounds ridiculous. But if I'm just being honest, the way I think, if a girl says, oh, I want to make out with that girl, I'm like, oh, that's cool. If one of my buddies said, oh, you know what, that guy's like hot, I want to make out with him, it would give me pause. It would make me feel weird inside. Maybe that's something that I have to work with internally. But
are you scared? Are you scared of those feelings, right? No, I mean, I think I think that is part of just the culture that you've grown up in. And it's not something that is wrong or bad or anything that you need to work on. It's just where you sit based on your experiences. But for anyone listening who has experiences that don't align with that, I just want to encourage them to let that be okay and to not try to pin a label of normal, abnormal on it.
That's an interesting
The abnormal is like when it's bordering on you know, criminal, that's when it's abnormal.
Okay.
But if it's not criminal, it's worth exploring. If it's something you're interested in.
Okay.
All right. Respect. Producer Jay wants us to wrap it up. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, who knows what we'll have? We might have questions. We might have he said, she said. We might have more technically dating. So you'll have to stick around and see what's next.
I'm your Thanksgiving host, Day
Damona Hoffman. And yeah, stick around for the Thanksgiving Day surprise, as Ray said.
Did you ever look at the stains in your coffee cup and then realize that's exactly what happens to your teeth? Paraswabs is the five-minute solution to get your teeth white without visiting the dentist. This is John Greenhut, the CEO of Paraswabs. And if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, all it takes is 5 minutes with Paraswabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. It's clinically proven to whiten natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. The secret is a tooth detergent that lifts stains off of your teeth. Best of all, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try Paraswabs risk-free, call 1-800-943-5913. That's 1-800-943-5913. I guarantee your bright white smile will have your friends, family, and coworkers talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-943-5913. That's 1-800-943-5913.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman, and I'm sitting here in our lovely studio in Hollywood on a beautiful Thanksgiving day with my co-host, Mr. Ray Christian. So we have had so many questions from callers. We haven't done a live call-in segment in a long time. So if you want to give us a ringy-ding, 1-800-748-LQXO, we have our first caller on the line. And producer Jay's going to put the caller through. Hi, you're live.
Hello.
On Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman, and I'm here with my co-host, Ray Christian. Who's this?
Hi, this is Monica.
Monica, so glad you called. Happy Thanksgiving to you. What is on your mind?
So I have been sleeping with this guy for about 10 months now, and totally nothing official, which is fine. But recently, my ex-boyfriend has contacted me and wanted to become friends again or whatever. And I was wondering if I have an obligation to the guy I'm sleeping with to tell him about my ex.
Wait, so are you interested in pursuing a relationship with your ex again?
No, but I just didn't want it to be awkward and to have that whole conversation of, oh, hey, my ex is back in my life, and have the guy who I'm hooking up with be like, okay, I don't care, or vice versa, have him freak out that I didn't tell him. So I didn't know which would be better.
Well, but you also defined this guy as the guy that you're sleeping with, a.k.a. not your boyfriend.
True. Right?
So he's not your boyfriend, but have you guys had the talk about being exclusive?
No, we have never had that conversation.
Are you interested in that conversation?
That's a tough one.
That's a no.
I haven't really thought of
it. No, it's been 10 months, so, Monica. If you haven't really thought about it in 10 months, I'm just going to answer it for you. That's a no. So he's let's be real, right? I mean, you enjoy having sex with him. He's fun to be around, but you don't see a future with this dude.
Exactly.
So why do you care what he feels about your ex being in your life? Are you afraid you're going to hurt his feelings?
I don't want things to get awkward because we see each other on a consistent basis outside of the type of relationship we have. We see each other in a professional area too.
This is a work F buddy?
We go to grad school together. So.
Oh, a school F buddy. Okay.
Yeah.
And how long do you have left in grad school?
Another year.
Oh, man. You're really dipping your pen in the school ink. That's dangerous.
Trying to get the most out of my education.
Yep. Got to get the MRS degree.
I think if honesty is always important in a real relationship, an F buddy, an FWB, honesty is important, but like, omissions sometimes can be okay. If this guy has hooked up with you for 10 months and he's never taken the initiative to talk about you know, what are we? Or I want to claim you as my girl. I want to be your man. Then at the end of the day, does he really deserve all the details of your life and all the little inner workings of your love life and exes that might be in the picture or not? I don't think so. So you have to do you and don't cause any unnecessary drama. So if this guy isn't your boyfriend, you aren't even exclusive, and you just want to maybe talk with your ex, see what's happening, I'd say pursue it. See what happens.
I agree with you, Ray. How does that sound to you, Monica?
It sounds perfect.
Yeah, but just be careful, because sometimes, I'm going to speak lady to lady right now, sometimes hormones get involved and we can catch feelings out of nowhere. And that's where it becomes dangerous for you. And you will think that you're in an F-buddy situation. And the next thing you know, you start to feel for this person and you start to care what they think about else is in your life and who else you're seeing. I don't know if it's sounding familiar. Just protect your feelings, protect yourself, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Monica.
Good luck.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Okay, so, you know, there was another textbook question that I really wanted to get to in Technically Dating that we didn't have a chance to answer. I think we lost our other caller, but I wanted to answer that one question because I think it's really relevant for a lot of the people listening.
Do you want to take the mic on this one? Switch it up?
I want to take the mic? No.
All right, fine.
No, you just do it so well.
This is from a young lady. She's 24. She says, I love this guy, and we've been on and off for 2 years now, and I've told him how I feel, yet he can't tell me how he feels at this point. And I'll even be happy to hear him tell me he doesn't care. She wants an answer one way or the other. Why can't he tell me how he feels and what he wants? What should I do? I can't keep on hold forever. Damona.
It's interesting how people will ask for an answer. They'll get a response, because the response doesn't always have to be verbal. You can have a nonverbal response. They don't like that answer, and then they keep seeking another answer. So I would say that female 24 already got her answer. 2 years she's been with this guy since she was 22 years old, and she's still not sure whether or not he cares about her, and she's told him that she cares about him, and he has not reciprocated. This is a train that is not headed into the station. This is headed for derailment. And I don't know, you tell me, you're the resident dude here. A guy will continue to sleep with you and have a physical relationship for as long as you allow that to be okay, for the most part, right?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the guy. I tend to try to end things with a woman because I don't want them taking up mental real estate and using up my mental headspace. But I think it's the right thing to do. But I like her candor on this concept of, I just wish he would tell me, even if he doesn't care. It's like they say, they've done studies and they found that like getting fired, actually worrying about getting fired from your job is worse than actually getting fired.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies here. It's like just the uncertainty is worse than just finally ripping the Band-Aid off. So I think she's right with that. But when it comes to guys, if there is a certain amount of time that has gone by, let's call it a couple months, 3 months, a non-answer is your answer. If he doesn't know, that means no.
Because
after a few months, you know if that person is either worth pursuing long-term or not. And if you let a guy, a lot of guys will just continue having sex with you because time is not really our enemy. It's the women's enemy. Mm-hmm. Our biological clock isn't really ticking. So if you let a guy continue doing it.
Except for all your old-ass sperm.
Yeah, but men can have a baby at 70.
Yeah, but they're saying now a lot of birth defects are not because of the women's old eggs. It's because of all the old dudes that are still trying to father children. I'm just saying. There is a time limit, guys. It's not forever.
Okay, that's fair, but it's it's clearly not as short as the typical women's biological clock.
The perception is not. Do we have time for another textbook question? Okay, I saw this one that was trending And I wanted to ask you your opinion since you're out in the world, in the dating world. So this one, wait, can I say who it's from?
Don't say the name. Don't say the name. Just the age.
Okay, this guy is 31. He's from California. He says he went on a date. Okay, I'm going to read it like as him. I see I'm not as good at this as you are. He says, went on a date, we got naked, and then she said we can't have sex until I get a full battery of STD tests. Is that reasonable? Is that reasonable, Ray?
They got naked.
Naked all the way.
They got into the birthday suit on the date, and then she says, I need you to have a full battery of tests. Okay, wanting somebody to get a full battery of STD tests or just STD tests, reasonable. In a vacuum, if you let this guy get butt naked with you and you are also naked and it looks like it's about to go down and then you hit him with that, that seems a little bit misleading and a little bit of the old bait and switch.
Could that be some of these games that you're always talking about? Maybe that's just her way of playing a game.
But that's kind of a mean-spirited one. That's one that's like misleading.
There's a lot you can do with clothes off that's not sex.
At that point, it's wet humping. It's not dry humping. There's not that much you can do. Like, it's going down if you're both naked.
Okay. Is there a level of disrobement? Is that a word? No. But you understand what I'm saying. At what level of nakedness can a woman, you know, throw
the
red card or whatever?
Throw the red card, you're out.
You're out.
At what point can she pump the brakes? Okay, I would say if both of you guys are getting into your skinnies and you're both just fully declothed, you need to be around third base at least. You should be rounding third and getting the wave in to home base, but
I'm sorry, what are the bases now? I think they've changed since I was single. Let's get specific.
Third base, it is a little bit murky, actually.
I know. That's why I'm asking you, because you're out in the world.
I don't even think kids these days actually know what the bases are, but my understanding of the bases are home base is obviously knocking boots.
Yeah.
When you're doing the no pants dance. Third base is is cunnilingus or fellatio.
Okay.
So I'd say
you
if you get
really technical there.
A little cunny, a little fellate. I think is what goes down if you're getting butt naked at minimum. This is good holiday fun for the family, isn't this?
Continue. Okay.
That's kind of it. What do you think third base is?
Oh, I thought you were going to go through all the bases.
Oh, second base is shirt comes off and the breastises are out and about. And being
we are having a lot of Thanksgiving fun. Producer Jay just quit.
First base is a kiss.
Okay, so you say you could go to third base, but that's pretty naked.
I'm saying if you get naked, it should be understood that we're at least rounding third. You make it the stop at third, but we're at least getting a triple if we're getting naked.
I'm literally speechless. I'm not even sure what to say to this.
Well, do you disagree?
Well, I would say, like, I really did not sleep with a lot of guys when I was single. I mean, I would get to a base. I would get on base. But the answer was pretty much always a default. If this is the first time we met, we're not sleeping together.
Right.
So, but I don't know that I would go all the way to third base.
Would you get naked with these guys and then say, nope?
Sometimes. I don't know.
You would get.
I actually almost got arrested for skinny dipping once, but that's another story.
Okay, that's a fun date.
You can get. Oh, it wasn't a date, but it was a party. But you know, you can get naked for a variety of reasons.
Is this what's going to go down at your birthday party this year?
Hey, I guess you'll have to come and see
Team Skinny Dip.
There will be wine. No, so I would say that I think a woman. Here's the real. The real deal. A woman always has the right to choose and the right to say no. And there may have been a point in the development of the evening where she became uncomfortable or she had second thoughts. And she always has the ability to say, you know what? That's too far. So is it reasonable? Heck yeah. Is it fair? Maybe not. But that's the situation. And if you like her, go get the test and see her again. All right, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll be doing a little He Said, She Said right after this. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman. We are here at the lovely Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood. Wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. See you in a moment.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-4158. That's 1-800-352-4158. Again, 1-800-352-4158. A fee-based company.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We are so glad that you are here with us, getting your modern love dish served up to you hot and fresh today. Okay, so we started doing this segment a few weeks ago. It's been a while. Mr. Ray Christian, CEO of the Textbird app.
It's been marinating.
It's been marinating since
like the turkey.
We've done like the turkey. That's, I don't know how it's going to get made. He Said, She Said is this segment, and we had so much fun with it last time, but we had to find a topic that was really, really juicy, like that turkey, right?
And something that we disagreed on, legitimately disagreed on, which is kind of rare.
Kind of rare, because...
Great minds.
That's what I was going to say.
Jinx.
Can't talk to somebody who says your name. Okay, but I'm going to say your name in a minute, because I really want to talk about this topic. And you know what, Ray? Sometimes men just don't understand.
Damona, sometimes girls just don't get it.
And that's why we have He Said, She Said. So in this corner, repping for the men, he's in his early 30s, he's single and ready to mingle, we have Ray Christian.
These are our sound effects for today.
It's holiday sound effects. Okay, I'm ready. Introduce me.
And in that corner.
I'm ready. I got my fists up.
Repping the ladies.
That's me.
She's married with two kids and has been coaching singles for 11 years.
Almost 12.
It is Damona Hoffman.
Oh, okay. So here's how this topic came about. I was watching the show, this Lisa Ling show that I love, called This Is Life on CNN, and she went into the Bunny Ranch. We've all seen the Bunny Ranch in Nevada a million times, but
sure,
it had all these girls that were there, you know, trying to make money for themselves and their family, and their prostitution is legal. And it really raised the question, is this something that other states should look at legalizing? Is it fair for the women? Does it empower the women? Does it keep them down? And Ray and I wanted to talk about it, and honestly, I have no idea what he's going to say, and I take... no responsibility for it. So I'm going to kick it off to you to start us off with He Said, She Said.
So just so you know, this my thoughts and this phrasing is actually sanctioned and written by Damona. She ghostwrote this.
No.
This is my thought on this. So for me, it kind of seems like marijuana. It's like one of those things where whether you disagree or agree with it, and I think most people probably disagree with the concept of it, especially most women, probably opposed to the concept of prostitution, but it's the oldest profession in the world. And whether we like it or not, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your viewpoint, it's not going away. It will never, ever go away. And I can say that unequivocally. And depending on your thoughts on that, unfortunately, they don't matter. It's not going away. So if it's not going away, and we know that as a certainty, it's like death and taxes and pretty much prostitution. If that's the case, why not legalize it and make it safe and regulate it and tax it and make it safe for these young women that put themselves in really precarious situations? or they deal with pimps that are the seediest characters on the earth, or they deal with like strange ghetto situations and areas where they have to practice their profession. Why not regulate it, make it safer, maybe even make it taxed so it can maybe go towards some good cause, because we know it's not going away. So legalize it.
You know what? That was a very compelling argument, right? I will say. The only reason that I have pause about supporting that is after seeing what the situation that the women in Nevada are in, where they're in a legal situation, they are being taxed, and but they're also operating in a situation where they're paying a guy who's basically a legal pimp for their room and board, for their place of business to operate, and they think that they move to Nevada thinking they're going to like get rich and sell their body to be able to afford things for their children or whatever it is that their heart desires. And then they get there and realize that there really isn't the money in it, that they can barely support themselves. And what it does to their self-esteem to have to go through that experience and have sex with these men that they're not romantically interested in, it really brings down their self-esteem. And it prevents them from being able to thrive and be prosperous in the future. I would rather that they got a job at McDonald's and worked up the chain there and saw that, gained some skills where they could actually have a future and build a life for themselves, than to keep fooling themselves into thinking that selling their body is a road to prosperity.
Okay, that's a fair argument. And nobody's saying that the outcome of women that work in prostitution is a delightful one. It's obviously not the ideal. I don't think any girl grows up and says, I want to be a hooker. So it's unfortunate, but the sad fact is, if they didn't go to the Bunny Ranch, they probably would have been working on the street.
And many of them were.
And here's the issue. When I say regulated, it doesn't mean just like policed or having a structure to it. It also means preventing what the Bunny Ranch is and what Nevada has, which is a monopoly. Mm-hmm. So there's a supply and demand issue. There's every woman that wants to have somewhat of a decent setup in the prostitution ring, and there's a lot of women that have decided to do that. Their only legal option is to go to Nevada in the few places there, in the few counties, really, like the Bunny Ranch. So there's a supply and demand issue. These guys, the owner of it, can get away with screwing them over, mm-hmm. Figuratively, with the rates and how much he's charging. But if it was regulated, no monopolies, and there's a lot of safe areas for them to do it, the free market economy with some regulations preventing monopolies would give them more viable options where they get a market rate so they don't have to do this work on the streets.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Should prostitution be legalized? Let us know what you think. You can tweet me at Damona Hoffman. And if you liked what Ray had to say, go ahead and hashtag team he. If you like my point of view, team she. Let us know what you think. Before we go, since it is Thanksgiving, I did want to do a little romance rollback.
Good segue.
The romance rollback.
You did say that prostitution was the oldest profession, so I'm rolling the romance back, and that's what we do on this segment. We tell you about traditions of the bygone era. And it is Thanksgiving. And even though we know now that the rosy portrait of the pilgrims and the Indians that we grew up emulating didn't actually exist in that way, I thought it was appropriate to actually honor some of the old traditions of the Native American people in their wedding rituals, because I think they're pretty cool. So there's a ritual that is called the Rite of the Seven Steps that many different tribes do in their wedding rituals. And they don't have a bridal party, but what they do is they walk seven steps together, the couple, around a sacred fire. And the groom takes the first step and he stops and recites a vow. Then the bride follows suit. And then this ritual continues until they complete seven steps. Sometimes they give each other gifts. Sometimes they engage with their wedding guests. And I think it's a really nice tradition. And actually, it's something that shows up in a lot of different traditions. My sister-in-law is Bengali. She's Indian. And they have a fire ritual of seven steps in their tradition, too. But I do know there's a difference. It's not the same Indian. We have to get educated. And we have to really look to the past and honor. Now I've made everyone offended here. We have to honor.
Who didn't we offend on this show?
I don't know. I think I'm even a little bit offended. But I'm thankful that you stuck with us and you've listened to this show. And by the way, if you love this show, please tell other people and leave us a review on iTunes so we can help keep sharing the love, helping more people, and giving you modern dating advice that's really going to help you in your relationships. Don't forget to tweet me at Damona Hoffman. You can also follow me on Instagram and catch up with Ray on Instagram at RayChristian_LA. Until next week, we wish you happy dating.